Motivate this. It's Motivation Monday, and we are here to help you figure out how you can help your damn self. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote The Little Red Book and The Sales Manifesto.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, founder and author of Sales in a New York Minute. What's up, everyone? Welcome to Sell or Die, the world's premier podcast on sales and personal development.
So I watched the ball game last night, and there were hundreds of thousands of motivated Canadians watching the game until the last 5 seconds, where Iguodala made a three-pointer to break their backs and end the game. And all of a sudden, motivation went from 100 down to 1, or maybe even none. Interesting how that changes.
So I guess the question is, how do you respond when something like that happens? Because there's a game 3 coming up for Toronto. How do you respond with your motivation when your back gets broken?
It's probably the same way the Toronto Maple Leafs respond. Like, they haven't won a cup since 46 or something. And they figure they're going to lose, but they're going to root for their team. I mean, I've never seen such enthusiasm for a basketball game, ever. They're in the street. There's thousands of people in the street watching on big screen televisions. You couldn't get in the ballpark. It was absolutely an event, a happening.
It sounds pretty amazing.
It was till the last 5 seconds.
We all know I don't really care about sports, but it sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting. So let's change that topic and get to the one of ours that we're going to be having today. What is this show, by the way?
This is Sell or Die. Yeah, welcome, Jeffrey.
Oh, thanks. And this is Motivation Monday. And yes. This is part of our podcast process.
Yeah, and we're live on Facebook, and you may be watching on Facebook or listening later to the upload of the download. If that makes any sense.
Exactly.
On our
podcast. The upload
of
the download.
And but I just want to say hi to some of our friends who are watching right now who are live, like Penny and Wes and Alex and all of you other guys out there who haven't said hey yet.
Hundreds of thousands of people are listening right now, and we're going to be talking today about stress, why it's here, why it ain't no good, and how you can get rid of yours.
Everyone thinks that they're the only ones who are stressed, like it's only you. But in reality, you're not alone. And so we're going to share some of our secrets to help you deal with sales stressors, job stressors, career stressors, life stressors.
Or realities about why you're doing it to yourself stressors.
That's right. And then later on in the show, we're going to go over 7 tips for interviewing sales reps.
Ooh.
That's right. We're going to switch gears a little bit. But first, we have our favorite segment,
Share This.
What do we got, guys?
What's up?
We've got a great Share This week. This comes to us from courtesy of the NBA Finals, but really we're going to go back to the NBA Draft. We've got the sales team from the New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh, yeah.
And this is video of them just as they found out who would receive the number one pick. There you go.
Yeah, geez, I hope if they can keep Anthony Davis, they could actually win a title, but I don't think they're going to win one with...
Does everyone get that excited usually?
Well, you do when you get the number one pick, because that's going to mean big sales for them, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Until they're 2-11. And New Orleans fans start to wear that bags over their heads again.
So, diehards, do you feel like that every day? Do you wake up like ready to jump, feeling like you have the number one pick?
You know, it's funny. It's funny. Here's the deal. 2 months ago, when Anthony Davis demanded a trade, they felt like they were on death's door. They were only about a 5% or 6% chance to get the number one pick, and they won it. So they went from absolutely we're in the trash can to euphoria in a matter of a month or so. And I think that that's self-induced. You know, you put yourself into that condition. They let outside things influence their inside feelings.
Ooh, I hate that.
And that causes stress.
Yeah, that does. That does. So if you see a funny sales video or a meme, make sure you share it with us on Twitter or Instagram or Gittimer and I guess on Twitter, I'm Sales in Any Minute. I don't know. On Instagram, I'm Jen in Any Minute.
We're going to have a new segment called Stupid Sales Tricks. that we adapted from the Letterman show.
No, but normally we love to show memes and stuff like that, and our producer Alex compiles them. So we'll have those.
Producer Alex?
Yeah.
Alex produces the show?
He produces the meme segment.
I got it. He's the meme producer.
A segment, yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Meme, they call him.
We also have a Cellar Diehards official Facebook group, so make sure you join it. It's the free Facebook group, and you can pop those memes in there as well.
Cool. So let's roll with this thing.
Yeah, let's talk about stress and how it affects your life, how it affects your revenue, and how it affects you.
There's a bunch of stats. I'm going to read a couple of them.
Okay.
40%, now this is from the American Institute of Stress, whatever they are. And I'm assuming they're in Cleveland somewhere where it's stressful all the time. 40% of workers reported that their job was very or extremely stressful. 25% view their job as the number one stress in their lives.
Whoa. 70,
yeah, I know.
That's insane.
Wouldn't it be like, I don't have enough money to make my dental payment? Wouldn't that be?
I don't know.
Now, sometimes your job can have something to do with that.
That's very true.
Right.
75% of employees believe that workers have more on-the-job stress than they did a generation ago, like who gives a shit. And 29% of workers felt quite a bit of or extremely stressed at work. Like, you know what? And they also said they're burnt out. That was only 26%.
I just want you to think about this. If you lead a sales team or you're on a sales team with 10 people, this is saying that 40% of workers reported their job was very or extremely stressful. That means that you or four of your colleagues are extremely stressed out. What? That's a lot.
So here's the deal. A couple years ago, I wrote a column about burnt out. Burnout manifests itself in your daily talk until it's embedded into your psyche, and that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm burnt out. So I'm going to read something that I think will help everybody. You start by your self-actualization and asking yourself reality-based questions of yourself. And when after you ask yourself the question, write down the answers, and your stress level will be revealed. Question one. How much do you love your job?
Ooh.
Scale of 1 to 100. Because if you're under a 50, that's causing your stress.
Yeah, but someone might say, Jeffrey, I love my job so much that I'm so passionate about it. I'm so dedicated to it. I'm so loyal to it that I want it to succeed. And so that is stressing me out. I'm just saying.
Not buying it. Question two. Ask yourself, what's the best part of your job? And write that down. Question three. Ask yourself, what would you rather be doing? Question four, ask yourself, where would you rather be working that you could afford if you had a better opportunity, not just money opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
And question five, ask yourself, is the grass really greener on the other side of employment?
You know, that's interesting because everyone thinks it is greener. Like, oh, I'm going to go to that other job, and it's going to be so much better.
They're going to pay me more money. My boss won't be an asshole.
I've seen sales reps make that jump numerous times, and the reality is that you, A, have to prove yourself all over again to a new set of people, like new customers and new colleagues, and you, B, it's like you're starting all over again. It's not always greener. Now, if you join our team, like, we have a new person joining today.
Yeah. Adam. And we haven't stressed him out yet.
No, but it is actually greener here.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have a green screen.
All other places.
We have green carpets. This
but
is
all
greener
other places,
here.
It may not be greener. That's just the reality.
But here's the deal, and this is the reality. Being or feeling burnt out or stressed out is not a problem, it's a symptom. Why you're feeling burnt out, why you're feeling stressed out, that's the heart of the situation.
So let's talk about those common sales stressors that happen in people's lives, okay? So like the customer won't call you back or...
Is that stress or is that just...
I think people do get stressed because you're trying to make a number, you're trying to hit a quota, and then all of a sudden you have 10 of the customers won't call me back.
Listen, isn't it a why question still though? Isn't it why the guy won't call me back or why the guy won't appoint me to come and see him or her?
So if you remain calm and not stressed out, then you can begin to ask yourself why.
Right.
But if you get all stressed in your mind, you're going to forget that logical next step, which is like, figure out what's actually going on, because you're just going to let the stress get to you instead.
You can't let the negative emotion overcome the positive emotion. And that's the key here. You have to remain positive and in anticipation of success, or it's not going to come. You're going to be the guy that says, if it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck.
So, Jeffrey, you're really good at that. Let's talk to our diehards about how do you remain positive even when you're super stressed out.
Here's the secret.
Yeah.
Not giving a flying fuck.
Detachment? Like detachment?
No, not taking it personally. Mm. You can take it seriously, but you can't take it personally or you get stressed out. And so if someone's not calling me back, I'm going to figure out why. I'm going to text them.
Okay, let me give you an example.
Yeah.
Okay. Diehard has a $100,000 quota that they need to make before the end of the month.
Right.
They've done everything they can. They didn't make their quota for the last 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And this is their third month now that they need to make this quota, not just to keep their job,
mm-hmm.
but they need to make this quota because they need to feed their family.
Okay.
Okay. So how do you not let that stress and that anxiety get in the way of selling?
By figuring out better answers. For example, if I'm in my third month of not making quota and I have appointments but I can't make sales, I'm going to ask my boss to go with me.
Mm.
I'm going to say, you know, Bob or Mary, I need your help. I'm going to ask you to go with me on my next three or four sales calls and tell me what it is that I could be doing better or differently that I'm not doing right now, because obviously it's not working. But most people don't have the balls to let their sales leader go with them. They're afraid they're going to get criticism or whatever the circumstances are, when in fact they're not making their number anyway. What difference does it make? So I feel as though you need to stop blaming other things or other people and start taking responsibility for your own stress and figuring out the three or four stress busters that you can employ that will make yourself feel better. Now,
like a steam shower?
Well, it sounds easy, but it is not easy, because you have to get rid of the root cause.
Mm-hmm.
The stress is, that's just the superficial cause.
Guys, if you know someone at work who's stressed out, and obviously we just identified that four of your 10 colleagues are stressed out, why don't you share this right now on your profile so that you can help someone, because we're going to continue this conversation, but we want to make sure that we're really helping all of the diehards out there.
Right. Also, let us know what your sales stressors are so that we can talk about those and maybe some ways to overcome those.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So I want to go through the woo way.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
The woo way.
I tripped on my lip.
That's funny, Jeffrey.
We're going to take a trip down Woo Avenue.
Yeah,
that's
do we have
right.
Any?
That's Wait. Right. I feel like I need some like woo music here. But
yeah,
anyway,
they haven't made music for that.
So when you are stressed about something, take a step back and stop thinking through like all the things you need to do and have to do, whatever, and why it's not working. Treat it like an experiment. Okay, become the scientist of your own life and of your own sales and whatever's going on, and literally ask yourself those questions like a scientist would ask. And so now it's not about are you making the sales or not, but it's are you able to carry out the experiment and get the results that you're hoping for? And so you may have to have numerous experiments. You may have to try various different ways. I know you love my woo.
No, I think you should go and watch Young Frankenstein. And... and go, it's alive, it's alive. I think you should.
Oh boy.
I think you should go into that woo moment and try to put yourself in a position where you picture yourself winning, and you picture yourself stress free and on an island. You went to the Bahamas or Fiji or someplace in the Caribbean.
Yeah, but I like that.
Just stress out a bit. Just go out a bit. When I moved to Charlotte, and literally I was upside down, flat broken, who knows what. In the 80s, and I would just picture myself on vacation.
I was born then, by the way.
Yeah. I would picture myself on vacation someplace, and in 10 or 20 minutes, I'd be fine.
Yeah, so picture yourself on one of those huts in the middle of the ocean.
Oh, no.
Yes, they're so amazing.
And picture one of them big mosquitoes coming up and biting your ass because there's no air conditioning.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
But the reason I'm saying to treat it like an experiment is because you are able to then actually look at the facts and look at what's going on and diagnose it. And so if you're looking at, like you were saying before, okay, if you have all these appointments but then you're not closing the deal, you're able to actually break down where the breakdown is and figure out where the issue is so that you can actually fix that piece of the puzzle.
I got it. And I think that's the right thing to do, diehards. And I think that you can eliminate. Some people don't even know they're at stress.
That's true.
You know, they're more at complaining or worry.
I have to tell you when you're stressed.
Yeah, I don't have stress.
Yeah.
But I think that there's things that everyone can do for themselves, but it's self-evaluation, not simply complaining.
So I want to make sure we're saying hey to our peeps. And Wes Wyatt says the grass may be greener, but you still need to mow it.
Or smoke it.
He always has funny one-liners. I love that. Tom, it's not personal. Great stuff. Matt, I love this comment from Matt. He says, you're both fantastic. I love the consistently positive, practical nature of your message. I've read both of your books and always recommend them. And your podcast is one of my go-to every week. Please keep up the great work and thank you for your service to the sales community with your awesome content. Matt, we love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you would be so kind to put that on iTunes where it will help the iTunes algorithm, that would be amazing for us. We would really appreciate that review there. So thank you.
I'm just going to wrap it by saying that most of your stress is caused because your boss is a jerk or you're not making your number.
Well, hold on. We have a question here from Danielle who says,
we don't care.
A client gives me a budget. I need to charge my fee beyond it. How should I go about it? It's stressing me out.
Raise your fee.
Huh?
Provide more value. Get some testimonials.
So she is saying, like, the client's budget's $100, but her fee is $200.
Find somebody. That's the person who's spending the budget. You want to talk to the person that's making the budget. Anyone who has a budget to spend does not actually make that budget. Somebody else makes the budget, and that's the person you need to be dealing with.
Another thing you can do is really figure out, like, what are they spending money on that's related to you and see if there's anything else that you can help with so that they can cancel something else that they're using.
Yep.
So, like, make it all in one that they get to work with you and get rid of something else. So now that makes money for you, or figure out a way to show more value. So they're like, we need to find more money.
And the bigger the company, the more budgets that they have. Oftentimes I'm given a speech and they say, well, that's the end of our budget. I go, well, what about for books? They go, we can have a budget for books. Like, okay, good.
Right. Like, all right. Sometimes they have different line items budgets.
We got to go.
Okay, so Matt, thank you. He's putting that on iTunes. If you have an amazing 5-star review, we would love that on iTunes,
So
too.
Let's come for the tips of the week.
Tips of the week.
Is that where we're at right now?
I think we have a break.
Oh, we have a break.
We have a break. We'll be right back.
It's ass-kicking time in your town, and you're either going to kick ass or get your ass kicked. The only difference is coming to our seminar.
Welcome back to Motivation Monday on Sell or Die, the world's premier sales and personal development podcast. Guys, it's time
to hit the list.
We love lists around here. So we're sharing some great sales blogs, articles, stuff like that. Doug, our producer, finds lists and shares them.
Unbelievable. It's not a top 10 list. Today it's a top 7 list.
And then we discuss it from our perspective. So Doug, where does today's list come from?
Yeah.
Today's list is courtesy of Jen.
Oh.
Well, there you darn go. That Jen. What a broad.
I'm time, Jen.
Oh.
I've got 7 tips for interviewing sales reps that is on Jen's blog, salesinanyminute.com. We'll put the link in the Facebook post, also in the show notes if you're listening to the podcast version. Now, I'm only going to read 3 of these, and you have to go to the blog for the rest of them.
Ooh.
All right, here we go. Number 1, don't just glance at the candidate's resume.
What an insult that is.
Well, I've seen it happen.
That's a cause of stress. Most bosses are assholes. That's a big cause of stress.
We figured it out.
Yeah. All right, go ahead. What's number 2?
Number 2, probe. Explain this one, Jen.
Well, don't just ask about work history or experience. Go deeper. Find out what really happened. Find out, you know, what did they do? What actions did they take, and what were those outcomes? What kind of results did they produce? And really figure that out. Was it a result of them being on a team and working with others, or was it a result of their direct action?
I would also, to me, I want to find out what's the last book they read. I want to find out what movie they go to. I want to know more about them as a person.
And please don't say you don't read.
Yeah, that's pretty stupid. We don't read books. Okay, next.
Number 3 in our 7 tips for interviewing sales reps that is on Jen's blog, salesinanyminute.com, is don't stop with the successes.
Well, people love to talk about their successes. Yeah. It's really easy. And when you ask someone like, well, what was your weakness or what is your weakness? It's a really awkward question to ask because no one wants to admit to a weakness. But people will admit about like regrets. There's other ways to ask that exact question and get the answer that you're looking for without mm-hmm. asking about what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses. That's like a question people asked in the 90s.
But
like,
regret,
you don't need to ask that anymore.
Wouldn't a regret be like Mary turned me down for the prom kind of thing?
I mean, it could be. And what did you learn from that? Really, what I want to know as the interviewer is like, what are the lessons learned? So if you lost a sale, fine. We lose sales all the time. But
right.
What did you learn? And you'll really learn about the quality of their character, the person who's interviewing, and their thought process. Like, that's what I want to understand is, like, what's going through that candidate's mind?
Yeah.
So how important is the interview process when you are evaluating a sales rep in contrast to the research that you would do on this candidate and such?
Everyone wants to hire really quickly because they want to fill that role, and they feel like, well, when their role – it's like it's like real estate. If you're renting out a property, you don't want it to go empty, right? You want to make sure it's full all the time.
Right.
Well, when you have a role and a budgeted spot for a salesperson, if it's empty, that means that role, that $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, maybe more that you have for that, is not bringing in any revenue right now. And so you don't want it to be empty, but you also don't want to hire too quickly where you're bringing in the wrong person and then in like 60 days having to let them go, find a new person. So you really want to take enough time that's needed to hire right. Now, one of the things that I've done in the past when I was a sales manager is I would sort of have people on the bench. Like, they didn't know that they were on the bench, but I would be warming them up and keeping in touch with people. I would walk trade shows and figure out who were the best salespeople there. I would stay in touch with them. And so that when I did have an empty role, I had specific people to go to that I had already vetted, in a sense.
Keep this in mind if you're the interviewee. If you're the person sitting there looking for the job, many salespeople are hired for skill and then fired for attitude.
Whoa.
So I would, if I were the interviewee, I would focus on how great my attitude is and how willing I am as a student to be able to be with the team. That's what I really want to do. And how can I help the team the most? That's my attitude towards getting hired.
Yeah, and so it goes both ways, right? Like, you have to figure out what to ask if you're the interviewer. And then if you're the interviewee, put yourself in their shoes. What are they going to care about? Going on an interview is just like going and meeting with a customer. You have to sell them on yourself.
Yeah.
So why not bring a portfolio? Why not bring something that's really going to show how great you are, that includes customer testimonials, that includes your best sales ever? Why not do something that no other salespeople are doing and actually showcase yourself in a way that would make someone want to buy your
Your sales position. Skill. You're selling yourself anyway. You can't just sit there and be a bump on a log. Dude, wake up, smell the Pop-Tarts.
I had a guy ask me once, he was like, I'm much older than the, whatever the age is that people want to hire, which I don't know what that is, but he had some preconceived notion in his mind, right?
Right.
And he said, so what should I do to really stand out? Do you think I should make a website? I was like, hell yeah, make a website, yourname.com. Right. And he's like, and should I like, what should I put on the website? And we put together this whole plan where he was going to have like a video of him, video testimonials. He was going to have written testimonials. He was going to have a list of his five greatest sales. He was basically going to have every single thing in a very easy to read format that the interviewer would want to read. And he said, do you think this will make me look like the young kids or whatever? And I was like, I think this is going to make you look ahead of the young kids because people aren't doing that, even though it sounds so simple. And it is so simple.
And he didn't do it.
Why? No, he did do it.
Oh, cool.
He 100. It was amazing.
Hello, fellow young people.
Yeah. So yeah. Just, you know, if you want to stand out, whatever age you are, go make a little website. It's easy.
You know, I got a great piece of insight one time on the interview process as an interviewee is to understand that it's just as this whole thing, this interview is just as difficult and stressful, to go back to that word from the first segment, for the person interviewing. Because I think a lot of times we go into interview somewhere and we assume that the power dynamic and all of the pressure is on us and in favor of the interviewer, when in reality, that interviewer is desperate to find the right person, and accessing that can give you that little boost of confidence.
Doug, that stress has caused a multi-billion dollar industry where people come in and take tests. And if they pass the test, then they qualify for employment, and the person who is making the decision is off the hook if the person passes the test.
What about the drug test?
Well,
the answer is always P.
The answer is hooked.
Oh, boy. So, okay, not to promote our own stuff, but Jeffrey does have a sales assessment and a sales certification. And what some salespeople are doing to make themselves get ahead of the rest is they're getting Gittimer Sales Certified. And then what they do is they tell their employer, like, how many people do you have that are Jeffrey Gittimer sales certified? And I can almost guarantee not many, right? So that is helping them stand out from the rest because it's an amazing 30-hour certification course with a sales assessment that tells you exactly where you are right now, like your strengths and your, I'll call them, opportunities for improvement.
Now you're talking.
We'll put a link in there, but if you want to get more information about that, all you need to do is hit up mary@gittimer.com and show be able to help you with that.
So, all right, Jen, before we go to break, I've been on a desperate search here for woo music. You wanted to get into the woo in segment one.
Yes.
And you requested some woo music. So I'm going to drop this on you. You tell me if you like it. If all you don't, I'll keep
hold
looking.
On. This,
okay?
This is a first, America.
All right, guys, we want you to vote on this. So if you like the woo music, make sure you give a lot of thumbs up.
We're going from mood to wooed.
Just a little soft. Soft woo music, just to
get you in the vibe.
To get you in the wooed.
Yeah.
There you go.
This song is called.
So anytime, Jen, if you want to go to the woo, I'll just crank this up.
Yeah. Okay? All right, that sounds good. That sounds good. I like
the name of that song. Pass the Reefer. Oh, no, wait, it's Don't Fear the Reefer.
All right, coming up next on Sell or Die, Motivation Monday, we're going to give you the leads, which is things that inspired us this past week. But before we do that, we have a very short break. Hi. You've heard the term in a New York minute, and you likely have your own definition of what it might mean. For me, it's fast, clear, direct, and successful. I'm Jen Gluckow, the author of Sales in a New York Minute. You need more profitable sales. You need better customer loyalty. Sales in a New York Minute gives you 212 pages of real-world, easy-to-implement strategies that'll help your sales and your success soar. What else am I saying? It takes way less than a New York Minute to buy the book, and it will give you years of success when you take action. So click here.
Click, click.
Buy now. Get a copy for you and your entire team.
He's full of
Yeah, but what he doesn't know is I snuck in here without paying a dime. So
It's not like a normal seminar.
You can't beat the value for what you're going to get out of this.
The difference that we've found, right, is the agenda's authentic.
Well, I've watched enough videos and read enough of his books to know that what you see is what you get.
The best word I can use is authentic.
So I kind of thought of him as like the Howard Stern of public speaking.
Blunt, straightforward.
Enthusiastic.
Very personable, can approach him.
It gets me recharged.
Well, I can learn from what he gave me today and apply it tomorrow.
I mean, he lived up to everything that I had hoped.
It's magnificent, the things that he just ties together and how he brings it together.
What he does is on point, man. It's excellent.
He kept me engaged the entire time. I wasn't scrolling on social media and doing other things. I was in the moment. It will hit you in a personal way, guaranteed, at some point or another.
It's phenomenal. It's very motivating and inspiring, and it's been insanely effective. It makes us very grateful.
A lot different when you're actually in the room with them. You know, you pick a lot more things up.
It is a completely different experience.
It's fun. It's engaging, right? It makes 3.5 hours go by in about 2 seconds, and there's so much to act on.
Here we are back, and
we're back.
It's time to talk to some of the people that we have on Facebook. Are they still here?
Oh yeah.
Okay,
you guys are here. What's going on? Ryan says our video has an echo. We will fix that. We apologize. Brian, what's up? What's up? Who else is here, guys? We don't know if you're here unless you comment. So say hey. Tell us what's going on this week.
What are you leaving this thing with, Jenny? Don't you have
we have the things, you know, that
call the
that
leads.
Inspire us. Yeah. Do we have a thing for the leads?
Oh my god. It's Italian sales music. I love that.
Oh man.
I'll have the spaghetti. What do you got, Jen?
So a couple of things inspired me this week.
Ooh.
We talked about this a little bit in our 2020 Sales Vision group last night.
We did.
2020 Sales Vision, by the way, is our private Facebook group where for $20 a month, that's really it. $20 a month, you can join us every single week and get live private interaction with us and the other members of the group, and we'll answer your specific sales questions.
And it's fun.
Yeah, we have like a really good time with it. But you know, so Gabrielle, your 10-year-old, had this project due, and she saved a lot of it
till the end
for the very last minute.
Yeah. Oh, the Doug Branson special.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I did it the same way in college. I waited to study for finals until the night before the final.
Yeah, but when you're 10 years old and require a lot of sleep, it's not easy saving it for the last minute. So she learned a really good lesson, but it's a lesson that we can all be reminded with in sales, which is this is the last month of the quarter, and there is no reason to be saving those sales calls, those like all the pumped up things you're going to be doing to be hitting your quota this quarter. Don't save them till June 15th or June 20th. Like, this is the first working day of this month. Start right now. Literally, right now.
Don't do the cram jam.
So, yeah, no. So my personal lead is the follow-through of where we started today, which is stress.
Mm.
You got it. I got it. I try to just ignore it and work through it for whatever it is. I never complain about it. You'd never know I was stressed about anything. But the challenge that you have is to do something positive about it. So in the finish of the thing that I wrote about this, the relief begins when you identify the cause and create your own answers, your own truths. Take actions like writing down what you believe causes the stress, write down what you believe the remedies could possibly be, and are there other people that could be helping you, or are other people causing it? And then write down the likelihood of your remedies occurring. I think you also need to look at, do you have a better job? Is there an ideal job that you could have that you don't have right now? But my ending statement is, change your thought pattern from burnt out to on fire, and you'll be a much better human being, and stress will go away.
I like that, Jeffrey.
Thank you very much.
I want to add one thing.
Please.
So yesterday, I went to Aladdin and with Gabrielle and
the new Disney live-action Aladdin.
Yeah. Not the Aladdin I grew up with, although I knew most of the words and I secretly wanted to go. And when Jeffrey said he didn't want to go, which is a first because he loves these kind of corny movies, and asked if I would go. I was like, sure, if you need me to do that. But secretly, I really wanted to go. So they changed the movie. It wasn't exactly the same. Like, it's this literally a whole new world, okay?
Where you got to Aladdin by subscription.
No,
and
but
it was
the
a monthly
girl.
Fee that dinged your credit card.
Oh. No, the girl has such a more powerful role in this version. It is so freaking phenomenal. I was laughing out loud. Like, I looked like
don't
a jerk.
Don't ruin the plot,
but
then.
I was laughing
spoiler
out loud.
Alert.
It was funny. And so I just want you to know, like,
spoiler
you can
alert.
Go be your own genie this week. Make your own wishes come true.
Oh.
Okay, you don't have to rub a magic lamp or whatever to have the genie pop out. Go be your own freaking sales genie and make some sales.
I approve.
All right, until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
Hey, wait, before we go, what do we have coming up this week on Sell or Die?
Oh, that's right. We have a whole sheet here of what's coming
that's
up.
That's right. We got a lot of action this week on Sell or Die.
Come on,
so
do
on
it, Jen.
Tuesday, we have Doug Winter. He's the CEO of Seismic.
Like him.
And he's going to talk to you about the wonders of sales enablement and what they can do for you.
And let me tell you what, I thought it was woo, but it's really, it's...
That guy was woo?
He was money.
Woohoo!
He's money in the bank.
All right, on Wednesday, it's a Sell or Die Extra with Jeffrey, and he's going on the Cashflow Diaries podcast discussing not only giving value, but also what you do after giving value to make the sale.
Ooh.
And then on Thursday, you guys, this was one of my favorite all-time Sell or Die classics. We are bringing back Hal Elrod. He is one of the most requested episodes ever on Sell or Die. And he features the miracle morning. It literally has transformed my life, and I believe it can transform yours as well.
Even Gabrielle does miracle morning.
Oh, yeah. On Friday, we have our usual best of. And until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm reminding you to motivate yourself to get out there and make a sale, even if your ass falls off.